Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyoncé.
Marrying someone you only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Yeah.
I was like, I forgot what we're talking about.
Let's just end it to it.
I need another pillow.
No, we don't have time for your pillows, y'all, because it's a tell-all.
Am I too far off?
No, you're fine.
Let's start again.
You're totally out of the screen. That's what I prefer.
This is the tell-all, part two.
I just want to get this done because this is the last tell-all.
You know, that is not a good idea.
You say that, too, all the time.
I thought you were going to say, I want to get this done.
I meant more the watching. The podcast I enjoy, actually.
Yo, this season was a slog.
Welcome to the show, y'all.
I thought I would falter several times.
Reality, guys, we're back together again. If we sound different.
We lost Little Joe somewhere in between episode 8.
Yeah. He
died of boredom.
In episode 11, Raina just walked by drunk with a glass of wine. I was like, wrong show, Raina.
What?
So, y'all.
And Debbie's like, I'm not going to.
We're together. This is our first podcast where I'm sitting on your couch.
I know it feels awkward.
Get used to it. He tried to ask to do a remote show today again.
I should have gotten more ice.
I know we probably had a guy tied up in the closet. Sorry. Coming over to do it. So if it sounds different.
Sorry,
looks
Arturo.
Different. People are watching on our intimate portrait. And remember, y'all, if you're on the intimate portrait, you're sitting right here in between us.
Like this pillow.
Right here on this couch.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Right. Okay. All right. Poodle just touched the husband nipple. All right, let's jump into this. 90 Day Fiancé. Ooh. Hey, tell all part two.
Tell all part two. We're going to see if we can get this into one.
We actually might, because it kind of was. I almost feel like they could have just put it all in one tell all. Nothing really advanced in the second half.
I feel like Sean was really trying to bring families back together. And it was like the producers told her to, can we mend fences?
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen, but I don't know why they've chosen this season to do that.
I don't understand either.
She's like, so we don't think we're going to get any reconciliations here. And Moneybags is over there going, Kalani's crying, of course. She's with the tears of Kalani.
She's crying. Well, you know, though, did you see, I don't know, this was the... Of all cable, this was the highest rated show in all of cable. Was the Tell All Part One? Hell All. They should be called Hell All.
Okay, that does not.
Highest
they
rated.
Should not be rewarded for that kind
no,
of work.
No, highest rated. You know what? You and Me, My Ex was in the top 10. apparently we're on to some. We hit a nerve. Maybe it's all of our sissies out there.
I bet Lisa. No, Lisa is happy.
Lisa. I bet all those 10 people that listen to our show that actually watch the shows feel good about
themselves. There are more than 10.
Probably 20. Anyway, y'all. So,
are you sure I'm on camera?
So happily ever after isn't going away anytime soon. Sorry.
Miserable
Sorry.
Forever.
We have some quick announcements. First of all, we want to remind you that...
Is my midriff showing?
No, not yet.
I'm a mess today.
Did you take your CBD?
Yes.
You lied.
No, I'm...
You're lying. Look at me and tell me you took it.
I took it.
Why don't you go take it right now
no,
and fill
it's
up
fine.
Your eyes?
No, I'm
You want to pause it?
I promise I'm good.
Okay. I'll make you
Let
go
me
turn
be
on
good.
The fuck machine and I'll just wait. I'll just sit here like this while,
Let
I,
me be good.
While I hear...
Let me be good. Okay, just do your announcements.
All right. So, y'all, we mentioned we posted on our Instagram 90 Day UK is looking for people. Be sure to subscribe to that.
And remember, you can't be from Ireland.
You can't be from Ireland. If you're Northern Ireland, yes.
Yes.
Ireland, we apologize. The apology tour is in the making.
If you... I'm going to say something awful about the IRA.
No, yeah, we
so
can't.
So I'm going to move on.
Yeah, we need to move on. So, y'all, we've got that going on.
Y'all don't realize how much I hold back. I just want you to say that.
I'm just saying I'm worried when we do our first live show.
Me too.
So Plathville is back, y'all.
It's back. It's delicious.
That is a great
it's
word
delicious.
For it. Delicious.
Most homoerotic show on television right now.
It's true.
So if you ladies or men enjoy seeing younger men in the prime of their physical conditions subtly touching one another and flirting with one another, give it a whirl. I know I went somewhere too.
What? I'm here.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it's
boy.
Hot.
I literally could smell the smell
hot.
Of like ozone and like hay and a little bit of tobacco.
Okay, you know, that's weird because that just gave me a lot of...
Yeah.
When you said ozone, I thought you meant cocaine.
No.
So...
I didn't do drugs like you did.
Don't you look down on me. You
I
say
will.
That with such judgment.
I will. I'm surprised you're not dead. Anyway,
I haven't done that many drugs.
So check into that. Plath feels great. Season 4 of 90 Day on our $5. We're loving...
Y'all, we had a moment in the last show where when we find out that Nicole cheated on Azan, and I couldn't react.
You had to walk out of the room.
I was like that mom when the car is on the kids.
Yes,
I could lift up that moment, lift that up, and I kind of went, "What are you doing?
I'm spitting out my gum in your piece of paper."
Okay.
What? I'm with friends. It's fine.
I know. It just was a weird thing to do.
Why don't you just keep rolling? Because I want to drink my Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar.
No!
It's Dr.
got
Pepper
caffeine in it.
It's Dr. Pepper Cherry.
You're even crazier.
Okay. So I think that's it. Let's jump into this shit show.
Was there something else?
Oh. If you...
Can we do
no,
it now?
No, we can't.
Oh, never mind.
No.
We have a big announcement coming in like 3 days. 4 days.
No, this show goes up on
I'm really bad
Monday,
at this.
So it's in
2 days.
On Wednesday, we'll
two
have
days.
An announcement. Okay. And if you want to hear it first, join the Patreon because they're going to hear it on Wednesday.
Yes.
So, y'all, okay, listen. If you were in the mid-city, mid-Miracle Mile area of Los Angeles and someone was fucking in your car, I promise you it wasn't Poodle. That's our last announcement.
I don't get it.
I'm saying you're a whore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
I can't argue with you.
You know what? We're sex positive.
Y'all, this
I just had somebody message me just yesterday and said, I've fucked so many more guys because of your show and
good.
Had so much more fun.
Good.
Yes. Y'all get the, as we said, what does God not care about Poodle?
Sucking a dick.
God doesn't care if you suck a dick, so do it.
Just as long as you're safe and you respect yourself.
And it's all consensual.
Yes. And hopefully you're not cheating on your partner.
That too.
But you know.
Yep. Speaking of somebody who thinks cheating, Angela thinks Michael's been cheating.
Okay.
Let's jump in.
Do you think.
Oh God, this was laborious.
Do you think this is the last we'll see her?
Never. Again, she pulls in the most ratings. Two.
Does she?
That she people a lot of people hate Angela. We're not fans of her behavior.
Yeah.
This season.
Her behavior.
Behavior. But a lot of people can't stop watching her. It's honest,
I get that, but
And again, this was the highest rated tell all. This was the highest rated thing on cable.
Because she showed her tigs.
Because she sells her tigo bitties.
I like when Kalani said, Brandon, how's your first time at a strip club? Kalani again.
I love
Kalani
her.
Kalani and Yara, the stars of the tell alls.
They both looked really well, and somebody else you might disagree with me in this, but I have to say, I thought Jen actually came out pretty good on this tell-all of the family Libby.
Kind of. She also looked terrible. That makeup.
Oh, I didn't mind. I thought she looked a little better.
She had boob contouring.
She had a lot of boob contour. Oh, I thought you made her face.
No, it's still that awful.
I didn't know you were like Michael looking at her boobs wanting to get milk.
It's still that awful, like, kind of fruit stand.
But I
makeup.
Couldn't disagree with some of the things she said.
No.
She served some truth salt.
She did. Truth salts.
Oh, I just said truth salts.
It doesn't make any sense.
We should have them. You smell them and you see the truth. Well, you want to take your phone out of your pocket while we're watching the show? Wow.
I'm going to get through the show.
So, y'all, anyway, so Michael's...
done with this season.
Angela's walked off set, and she's saying,
Psychic Tracy told me it was a woman with an L.
It's
going to
be an L, Skyler. He said it's going to be... She's outside smoking. Meanwhile, Sean's kind of like, let's get everybody's reaction. There's not much. It's Yara. They're kind of saying what we all know. Yara's like, she's too much.
She's extra.
Lydia actually says, she's a clown.
She's a clown. She is.
She is.
She is a clown.
She's a Jerry Springer clown. And Kalani actually says, I think with Angela, she's like, no one wants to hear another woman tell you what to do with their body.
Yeah.
And very insightful, but it doesn't.
Here's the thing. They all it's kind of a mafia. They all kind of, especially the people who've been on the show for a while, they kind of stick up for each other.
They do.
On social media.
I think Kalani, though, sees a little bit like, some people think we're defending. We've never actually, I don't think we defend Angela. I think for anyone, we try to see where is this coming from.
Yeah.
And you and I do see that it's not an excuse, but that this comes from hurt
for
Angela.
I think
Kalani sees that.
I think some people think that we're defending because we don't rail about her and go cancel Angela.
I guess we're just not surprised by it.
Yeah. Like, and don't come for pitchforks.
This is who Angela was from day one.
We did that for Pred, but
that's a different thing. That's something that happened outside. But, I think Kalani hit on when she said she's really hurt and she's sensitive.
Well, but you're seeing what it's like when someone who can't be vulnerable. It's all anger.
Yeah.
And
when she came back, she immediately changed the subject back to Michael. Maybe he's cheating, deflecting all of her because she really did not want to talk about it. Babies, because she feels again. I think she feels bad.
It makes her feel not like a woman.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting though about Angela, her feeling, especially when she feels judged, like especially by another woman like Lydia.
Uh huh.
That's going to make her flip out.
Yeah.
And even if the person is being reasonable, she'll feel like she's being told to do something.
Yes.
And again, I can't. And they kind of defend her a little bit because, again, they stick together.
And she says, I want my Michael who cared about my feelings. And she comes back and she says, I apologize to Lydia for being vulgar. I apologize for how I acted, but not for what I said.
Yeah.
No woman is going to tell my husband what to do. I think the thing that doesn't ring true for me is I don't think Lydia is telling Michael what to do. Maybe a little bit, but maybe she's adding pressure. I think Michael agreed to everything Angela said at first.
Yeah.
I think now Michael's standing up for himself and setting boundaries, and Angela doesn't want to believe that Michael's actually setting it, so she's blaming it on Lydia.
Right, because some people said that they never thought that Angela loved Michael.
Oh, I disagree. I think
it's a really gross codependent love.
I think that dead on.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
So it's the other side of that.
It's like the podcast when I press the button and you're right. We just don't have that because we're doing it on the camera. You are really out of sorts because you're not used to doing this. You're scared.
I'm not scared. It's just weird. We haven't done this in so long.
You're not used to having lights in front of you with your clothes on.
That's true. I'm very comfortable in front of the camera.
He did, y'all. We sat down, we're about to record, and he literally pulled this bucket of lube from Alex Boodle. It's not that
like,
show.
Muscle memory. So
been there too.
She says, I'm embarrassed. Everybody's seen my tits now. She's like, and she even says, I lost control.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy. I think we've talked about this before. We kind of understand Angela because we grew up with people like Angela. Mm-hmm. She's kind of like another version of Anissa from Love After Lockup.
Yes. Or honestly, I think in a way, I do think she's a bit like Andre. Whenever she gets angry, it becomes full kind of blackout rage because she has such rage issues. Because that happens to Andre, which they never address as tell-all, and I think they needed to. Like, Libby even brought it up.
Yeah.
And Sean didn't even follow up with, like, a question about that. But anyway,
it is strange. It is strange. They did address the big issue, which they were talking about with Charlie.
Oh, yeah. So,
and they come back, and Sean says, do you want to apologize? And Angela says, I apologize, Lydia, for being vulgar, not for what I said.
Yes. And so that's what so basically, Andre says, you know, Andre even says, I don't know how Michael's dealing with this over and over, and because Angela is trying to deflect things, she gets upset. And because Michael's trying to say, I just was trying to let her speak. And that's when Angela's trying to say, no, let's talk about you. And she tried to do the whole deflection thing. It goes nowhere.
Yeah.
Michael's standing at his ground. So what does she do? She leaves again.
And Sean's like, I think that's the first time someone's left twice.
And I wrote, this makes no sense. This didn't seem like a motivated reason to leave.
No, this was,
Yeah, go ahead.
She was getting close to being called out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that will never happen to Angela.
Well, it just did when they called her out about the doctor.
Right.
And then, y'all, don't, that doctor, he's been in the news lately.
Yeah, he was arrested in Ghana.
Apparently, I don't know if it's his fault or not, but it sounded like he was doing charity work in Ghana.
Right.
So I don't know if he's shady or not. He's hot, but I don't know if he's shady or not. So anyway, that's where Angela is. She's in the back now, and she said, I appreciate y'all and all the hard work you do, but I just can't be there anymore.
And she says, Michael calls her, and she says, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not doing this. This was an excuse to break up with him for good.
Yeah.
I think after the surgery, she realized she can do this without him.
Yep.
She can do her reality stardom without him.
I don't think she loves him anymore.
No.
I think she originally did. But I think as soon as she realized he was serious about this kid thing,
and
wasn't going to let it drop, the feeling of unworthiness, the feeling of guilt, and also that couple that he's calling her about for her abusive language to him, she doesn't, would rather not deal with
him. He's
You're
acting.
You're right. This was just, she came here to break up with him.
And I feel like he was always her pet.
Yeah.
And then when he started pushing back, y'all, it's never fun when if your cat could talk and says, I'm calling the shots here.
Yeah, y'all, if animals could talk, y'all would take that wish back real
quick.
You
would not want your dog telling you.
You really
what
want your dog just looking at you going, love me.
Yeah.
Like Nickel and Azan.
She is a dog.
She's just a needy dog. Love me.
She's so awful.
She's like a rescue dog. And I know because I had a rescue dog and she wanted to be loved all the time. And I did.
I don't know if she wanted to be loved all the time.
She did with me.
Oh, no. There were some times where she just left the room.
That was out of love. Anyway, so the producer, and so he calls and she's like, Michael, I don't talk to you. And then she says, which is so gross. She's like, look at these, Michaels. And she shows her boobs, and then she goes, last time you're going to see those, click.
The only reason I asked if this was the last time we were going to see her is she kind of did this cinematic thing by looking into the car with her Uber driver and said, hello, are you married? And
no. We're going to see her again.
Yeah.
She'll be on the Single Life.
Oh, no.
Or they'll be on Happily Ever After again. Or she'll be on...
But you can't be on
the new 90 Day Fiancé spinoff that's coming called 90 Day Fiancé. This is all we got.
90 Day Fiancé. Meh. Here.
90 Day Fiancé, you're still watching.
Right. What else? What you know you're going to watch. Should anyway. We move on to
yes.
Elizabeth and Andre?
Andre.
She's they're asking how Ellie is. She's like, she's learning all kinds of new words. And I was like, is she learning fuck motherfucker?
I bet she's learning fuck motherfucker. Yes.
He really does say fuck every other word.
Yeah, it's hot and inappropriate.
I have to tell myself it's not inappropriate because I do want to climb on him.
Oh, but I'm saying we're around a kid.
Not good. But at one point she's like, Ellie, she's like me in temperament, but she, and Andre's like, but she looks just like me. Which is true with his huge Moldovan head.
She does look like him, but she's cute. And so, Libri and they basically say things are going great in the business, so much that she's like, he does the hammers, I do the interiors. And they bring up the babysitter issue, which kind of came up.
This is a cultural issue.
It is.
And I wish Sean had pushed this a little more, because all the Americans think it's normal.
Yes.
All the foreigners think it's weird.
Yes.
And I wish we could have a little...
And Mother Poodle thinks it's weird.
She was okay, but she didn't like it. She didn't like babysitters.
Yeah.
The first time we were with a babysitter that was non-family... was, I think I was 6 or 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was always her mom or my aunt.
Wow.
Or a family friend.
I didn't remember any
Never of them. Someone you paid.
Then when my dad
but
was-
But it's not feasible.
Yeah. No, it's
For
not.
A lot of people who don't live around their family.
When my dad was in the-
Get hospital, help, y'all.
Get help. When my dad was in the hospital in Oklahoma City, one of his nurses was one of our babysitters. Small world.
No, it's because there are only like 20 people who live there. And they all know each other.
This is Oklahoma City. There's like 80 people. Anyway, y'all. So.
And they knew the tall pharaohs.
She did know the tall pharaohs. And she knew the pig that was my dad's doctor.
Oh,
Oinky.
Oinky.
Yeah. So, y'all, Andre.
A talented doctor.
He is. Andre says, you're just typing on computer, taking care of the kid. You can do it. It's so easy.
We know he's a sexist pig.
And it is insulting because he's taking care of the daughter. So he knows how much fucking work it is. And so I'm like, well, I kind of want Libby to say, well, if it's so easy, then you do it. You work from home during the day for a day and see if you can take care of her.
No, I agree. I totally
agree. That would shut him up real quick.
Well, he would...
Libby, you say, I'm going to an interior design or something convention, and you leave for 2 weeks, Libby.
This is...
See how he does.
The thing is, part of the reason that they are together is that she gets off a little bit on that shit.
No, for sure.
So I can side with her that it's ridiculous that he wants that, and he's a sexist pig, and he's a misogynist. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I would say also that... The reason why it bothers her, but it doesn't bother her enough to really do anything about it.
That's kind of with everything with him. It's like, and so you wonder why she not speaking up more. Is it because I think Andre's ability to change is like 8%.
It's not a lot.
And so I wonder, I feel for Libby, and that
well,
I wonder.
He was a stay-at-home dad, which is weird.
Which is weird, but we haven't seen that season, but I don't know if he was, if he doesn't want to do something, he does not do it.
No, we did see that season. He was a stay-at-home dad during season 5 of Happily Ever After.
We already watched that season?
Yeah.
God, it all just blends together.
But then that was weird for him because he would think, no woman is taking care of child, you know.
Yeah.
That. But I'm saying, I agree with you. He's not adaptable.
And if he doesn't get something from it, he doesn't like it.
Oh, he's very transactional. Yeah. I will say he cares about his family and will use Libby's family however he can.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, and that's basically, so anyway, they kind of, you know, Kalani kind of takes Libby's side, obviously. She was like, things that take 5 minutes, take 2 hours. Yara agrees with Andre.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And so does Jovi, agrees, but.
Well, we can't listen to anything Jovi.
But Libby brings up a good point. She says, I'm not going to hire someone off the internet. Y'all, she was a nanny. Isn't that how she met Andre? She was traveling. She was being a nanny overseas.
I think you're right.
We haven't got to their season yet, but.
Well, that's how you can travel. A lot of times you can be a nanny. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's. But again, the thing I didn't love about this half the tell all, things were brought up and nothing was resolved. So y'all, then that's it. They don't talk about the kid thing anymore. Sean just kind of says, she said like 3 times, well then,
and I guess
we'll have to leave it.
And I feel that was, and I don't know if that was the fault of Sean for expecting too much
or the
out
producers,
of a conversation.
I don't know.
Or the producers.
Because it's, look, y'all, as a host, if you're supposed to be a host for something like this.
What would Erica Hill have done?
Nah, I don't know. You're supposed to get things out of people, but you're not supposed to try to fix things. You're not supposed to guide the conversation.
It's true. She kind of does that.
It's why, it's like Oprah said, she got out of journalism because it was hard for her to be non-emotional while she was listening. So that's kind of the way Sean hosted a little bit. But then she says at the end, like, no relationships were healed here. And I thought, I didn't know you were trying.
That's not the point.
Yeah, that's not the point of this.
I think that's what the producers want. I think that's what people are. There is a certain amount of an audience who is tuning in to the tell-all for that. I know I wasn't. I was just wanting to see Tammy fight somebody.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, exactly. I think, and that's what the producers actually. I think they want. It seems like more. Sean, just from like her Instagram, she seems that she wants to help these people because that's kind of what all of her Instagram's
about. Helpable.
But the producers seem like they just want sound bites that they can put on Instagram clips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think these couples are fixable by a tell-all.
No.
Especially when you stunt bring on Asuelu's family.
Woo!
That's the thing. This is all a smokescreen. This is not about fixing a family. You would not have brought Charlie on. Otherwise,
that was good though.
It's
more shit came to light. That's the only which speak good segue. Poodle.
So y'all, they bring out Chuck.
Look at you.
They bring out Chuck.
They bring out Chuck, and basically,
did you notice? Libby said, "You know, our family has been chaotic and dysfunctional before Andre."
See, I want to know more about that.
Oh.
I know.
I guarantee you Charlie went to rehab.
But you know how nobody ever addresses it. She brings it up, and they all just kind of agree, but nobody says what.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything. And even later, this is a call, but like when Jen, not Libby, but when Jen calls Charlie toxic,
yeah,
Chuck says, I take offense to that word toxic. And I went, oh.
That's why.
Because you've been enabling him the whole time, and you don't want to admit that your son has a substance problem.
Right.
And y'all, alert, breaking news. Apparently OnlyFans is removing all of their adult content.
Sorry, Charlie and Meg.
Which is really shitty, actually, that it could build itself on sex workers and people making money.
Why y'all gotta be down on porn?
Yeah, you build yourself up where everybody knows where OnlyFans is, and then you just take the road. That's shitty, y'all.
That's the oldest profession.
They'll find
a way.
If you're on OnlyFans, you tell those people you subscribe to go to picklefinder.net.
There's another place called Just for Fans.
Look at that.
They'll just do that.
Just for Fans.
I've heard.
You've heard. Somebody needs a website that says, that's called Just My Dick and Just My Pussy.
I definitely don't have a Just for Fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't type piano on that search bar.
We get into some freaky deaky stuff later on.
Woo! You're going to get two videos.
I didn't think I bought a boat.
The first video is going to be a woman playing fur, at least with her vagina. And then the second video is going to be someone who looks oddly enough like Poodle getting ramrodded by three people in a puppy mask.
Woof!
Anyway.
Jen, Chuck is saying, what happened? This is kind of weird. What happened to your family? And Chuck's like, well, he happened. And I'm like, that's not fair.
And Libby just said, that's not what happened.
Right.
That's when she says, the problems have always been there. She is right. And so Sean said, so did you choose your son-in-law or your son? And Chuck says, I didn't want to choose anybody. And I know that he had the desire to get in the business. We've had bumps. And he's like, but he says, which is true, I know from Aunt Darla and Aunt Peggy and my dad and AW working together. That's why Uncle Leonard moved to Dallas.
No,
because working with family. Working with family, though, leads to HR family problems.
That's true.
It's just part of the game. And Chuck says, well, the real drama started when it came in for the loan. And speaking of, Jen comes in and they start talking about this loan, and Sean asks her, she says, you know, you feel like he's been manipulative and he's been using your dad.
He takes advantage.
Sean asks a good question where she's like, how does he take advantage of your father? Jen really doesn't answer the question.
Yeah, this is...
it's all past shit. Libby is right.
None of them can really say the real reason they have a problem with him.
Yeah, don't you feel like they all know and they're not telling
us? Sour grapes.
Yeah.
It's sour grapes because they don't like it when their dad gives any of them something that one of the other...
Jen probably at first got jealous of Becky or vice versa. And then they figured out the roles of Becky's going to be the realtor. I'm not going to touch her stuff. Jen's not going to touch my stuff. And Andre is just coming in. And I agree with Jen. Andre has no regard for anyone in the family.
No.
And he does want to take it all from them, which isn't great.
The way that Jen takes everything personally and says, but the money you take goes out of my pocket.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, and that's not exactly the case.
No.
That's a scarcity principle.
Yeah.
And
y'all don't live in scarcity.
Don't live in scarcity.
Poodle
live in abundance.
Tells me that all the time. Are we recording? Okay, we were. Saw the red light. I got worried.
Oh, my God.
What if we weren't? You would just leave.
I would, even though this is my house. So Jen basically says he wants to get as much as he can out of my dad. And
that he's getting into our job.
And Sean says, would you ever compete with him? And Andre's like, of course not. You know, which Andre would compete with
Andre
him.
Would totally compete with Chuck.
And Chuck's like, he will never compete with me because I'll beat him.
Never him.
Can you imagine when Chuck passes? I'm not saying it'll be soon. Can you imagine how they will fight over that?
He better have a Loctite will.
Yeah. This is going to be like a fucking Tennessee Williams play.
Yeah.
At this funeral.
But with nobody with a pretty accent.
No.
No.
And just Charlie screaming, bro, 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 bro.
Before we talk about Charlie coming on, this was kind of, they show that clip of Becky and Jen.
Mm-hmm.
So here Jen is saying Andre would totally take you out of business. Then there's a clip of Becky and Jen of, well, y'all, when they said, we need to come together.
And Dad's always been slow on the uptake.
Chuck's face.
I know.
It broke my heart watching him
watch it. I don't like Chuck, but boy, it's hard not to empathize with him.
I think that comment of like when Andre said, I won't compete against Chuck, and then Chuck has to say, yeah, you wouldn't compete against because I'd win.
Yeah.
That's the seed of Chuck that he's put in every single one of these kids. So I do feel sorry for him. But he raised children like this. I know you're putting it on your lip balm. And also, their horrible homophobic mom raised children
That's
like
true.
This. So I feel sorry for
the
him.
The rainbow is a symbol of God's love.
Oh, God. You know what, actually?
Not of gay people.
I don't feel sorry for Chuck because I think he is reaping what he sowed.
Yeah, that's one way to say it. Yeah, I can see that.
Sorry.
I just don't like
maybe
to see.
Maybe if you were nice and not competitive with people and maybe you didn't screw over people.
I agree. I just don't like to see people's kids abandon them on television.
But it's be a good person. And then they won't.
I got you.
Be a good person and raise good kids.
I understand. I'm saying you can have empathy for someone who's not a good person.
He's gross.
Okay. So I'll take it back.
Why am I on the poodle side?
Y'all, I'm the kind one, by the way.
Send us letters. What you think about that?
So,
I wish we could get letters, like old-timey
letters. Send us letters. So, Chuck, the next thing is Elizabeth saying, no, that's betrayal. You think this is betrayal.
Yeah, that is betrayal
right
there.
Jen doesn't really have a lot to say.
And Chuck says, I'm shocked. And Jen's like, well, obviously, we were just past.
He's taking money out of my pocket.
And, you know, my Orange Theory teacher canceled that day, and I was really moody.
Orange Theory teacher.
I was really upset. And Libby's like, they should be happy, because at the end of the day, he wants the business to be successful and make money. That's not true.
And Andre's like, it's fine. We'll get rid of her slowly.
Exactly.
We'll get rid of her slowly.
That's what they're trying to call out. But I think that part of, like you said, I think Libby is just... Libby is a person I feel sorry for. I think she's given up, and I just think she doesn't know how to handle Andre at all.
I would agree with you.
And he just bulldozes and does whatever the fuck he wants, and she has to stand by him and agree with him. Otherwise, he'll turn on her.
I think she would have to acknowledge that either she made a mistake, and I don't think she's ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have a child.
Mm-hmm. And pretty soon he's going to want a boy, because you know he wants a boy.
Yeah.
Ellie's about 2.5.
Yeah.
She just had her two.
No, maybe she was.
She had her second birthday. Yep. So she's like 2.5 now. He's going to want a little boy soon.
To make just as boorish as he is.
Yep. I hope his son is gay as hell. Libby be an amazing gay mom.
I think Andre might be okay with it.
It would take him a while. I think he'd be okay with it. Although the son wouldn't like it because all of his friends would try to get fucked by his dad.
Oh my God.
Robbie, can we go to your house
daddy
again, Robbie?
Is a daddy.
Oh my God.
Your daddy is a daddy.
Can we play Nintendo Switch at your house?
So y'all, guess who's here? Charlie.
Hey, bro.
Looking.
Hey, bro. He is slimmer.
But he looks already red-faced, like he has been drinking, y'all.
Hitting the sauce.
I'm mad, bro. I'm mad, bro. Bro, I'm going to. Come on, bro. Bro.
Yeah.
And so Charlie's like, I'm mad. Because that's the only emotion he can have.
I just want to say that. I just want to say that Julia loves Chuck, and she told Chuck that my mother's single, because there's this little bit of, even Jovi says, Andre, you should, because Jen says, and this is what I really agree with, she says, Andre, you bulldoze people and boundaries, and he does.
That's true.
And Jovi says, you should try to work with them. And Andre's like, well, you don't want to work with me. Anyway, I just wanted to say, y'all, can you imagine if Julia's mother married Chuck? Libby would destroy Julia.
Yes, she would.
In a second. I kind of want to see that. Anyway, so yes, Charlie shows up. Drunker than Cooter Brown.
No, he's not drunker than Cooter Brown.
But he's been drinking. He's been drinking.
He's
not Fring.
And he's like, everybody's trying to cancel me. Tell me I'm toxic. Everybody's trying to cancel me.
And then he tells Chuck, how do you let your... They show the clip. How do you let your son-in-law act like that? And y'all, go to the clip. He goes in and says, call the cops. That's the first thing he says before.
I mean, it's classic. It's honestly classic addict behavior. Not wanting to take responsibility. This is typical. Think about like when you see
this
shows
was
like,
hard to watch.
But think about
actually.
When you see. Yeah. Think about when you see things like intervention and stuff. Everyone set a boundary. So they're talking to less and less and less people. Remember that girl who huffed the things that you love?
She huffed the spray on your keyboards.
Y'all, that's Poodle's favorite episode of Intervention.
It is so good because she's so whacked out.
She is.
She regrets it now.
She does regret it. That's a good episode.
But she, that was, I could still watch that episode again.
Oh, I'll watch it anytime it's on.
And all of her family were just so disturbed by her.
They were. They were.
And this is the thing. Andre calls it out. Or Jen says to Charlie, Charlie came in with a chip on his shoulder, and he's like, it was all fine. It's like, I've always got along with my siblings and my family, you know? And Libby's like, and y'all, this is uncomfortable because everyone wants to say something, but because they know Chuck enables Charlie, they won't.
Well, it's not just that, too. Libby's crying because she's, well, when she watched it, because she said, it brings back that I've never seen that rage in my husband before,
yeah.
And there was nothing I could do to stop it, which I wish Sean would have said. So, Andre, do you think you have an anger problem?
Right.
Do you ever think of it? Nothing. Nothing with that. That was a missed opportunity.
Well, I think this tell-all was specifically curated to get to topics because there were so many guests. We had to talk about things. And this is the interesting things. Yara says, all of this with money and family. The problem is you don't need to have your money involved, your family involved with your money.
Go to Bahama. And did she say get bitches?
Sleep with bitches. Yeah.
Really, really good step for women there, Yara.
I don't think she's never that.
No, she's never. And then who knew, but fucking Mike out of all of them is like, you know, everybody's talking about business and money.
Business and
but
money.
Really, what's each other's pet peeves underneath all of this? And I went,
that's the smartest thing that's been said.
That's the smartest thing that anybody said on this television.
It just tells you he has no emotional intelligence in his life.
No.
But he can see something in
but
other
y'all,
people.
This is exactly, this is true. This is exactly what it is. And that's where we get up. Andre says, well, it's because you're getting fucked up every day and you reek of alcohol.
And then everyone just goes,
oh.
And I think now is a good time to take a break.
Oh, yes.
And we will get right back into that discussion.
Yes.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Caw!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Wait, I feel like red button is what you say. It's a metaphor for something.
Touch my red button.
Boy, I'll give you the red light. Bit. Go ahead, put in the right key.
Earl.
I'll give you the red light special all through the night.
And baby, it's yours.
If you want to stick it in,
I'll give you my clothes.
Suck on your dick and get a bucket of lube and fuck your head off. Oh, wait, too much.
Get a bucket of lube and fuck your head off.
Y'all, Poodle will fuck you like a praying mantis.
And then you'll bang me. And then I will slowly bite off your head and then eat your corpse.
Wow.
And then lay my eggs in it.
God, wow.
If I could reproduce by myself, that's exactly what I would
you
do.
You would.
And let my children, my butt babies.
Actually, the children eat your corpse, right?
That's the children would eat the mate's corpse.
Yes.
That's what, it's the circle of life, really.
Wow. All right. So we were talking about Andre and Libby.
We ended with Andre basically saying, you've got a fucking alcohol problem.
And the, you know, here's the deal.
He was the one who said it because he's the only one a little outside of the family that can say it.
The only thing I do hate is, y'all, we have to remember, look, there's two separate things at work here. Charlie's a fucking loser and a piece of shit human being, and he's probably an alcoholic.
Probably.
Those are two separate things.
Yes.
That is not separate.
And it
to
does
Andre.
Not. That's true. I think I've mentioned this before. Both of our fathers have said something like, yes, when we've dealt with people who were
druggies,
addicts or drug addicts, that they were useless people.
Yes. Just know when you say that, y'all, when you say someone's a drunk, that you're othering them.
Yep.
You're categorizing them to be different instead of saying that's a human.
They have an addiction.
Who has a literally scientifically proven disease.
Yeah. An addiction.
Andre's not going to see that.
No.
And that's
but no, it's I, we've had the same problem with people in our lives who's like, I think I told you when I was home at Christmas last time with my father, and he said something about, well, you know, he was all screwed up on drugs and a person who lets themselves do that. And I was like, that's ridiculous.
People don't let, yeah.
Yeah.
People don't let
but your
themselves
dad said stuff
this.
Like that too, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually why you never did drugs.
No, he's better at it only because he's tried to help someone specifically that's been horribly addicted to meth.
My father's done that too.
And it, like, so much so, I mean, like, bought them a car and they sold the car for scrap metal.
Oh.
So.
To buy meth.
So it's teaching when I was there in Oklahoma, kind of letting him know this is a disease. Mainly because I didn't want my dad to give them any more money. And
they can't handle more money.
They can't, because that's the worst thing for my dad. He can't afford it. And the worst thing for them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's one of the reasons that
Andre's not going to see it this way.
Ronald and Tiffany, if she doesn't take his, and both of them, they both kind of, they take the addiction seriously, but they both think it's something that's in the past for them.
They both don't deal with it in the present at all.
Yeah.
That's true. We didn't really have them this episode.
It yeah, nice. I can't say I missed it.
It was nice.
Can't say. We did have, the thing, the most just paralyzing thing for me with Tiffany is she has such good advice to give everyone else. And we liked her so much our first season. We just saw her and Ronald are so terrible for one another.
It's hard too when you're in it and they're, you know, I think the best thing is for her to get out of it, because we do see that, like, with Tiffany and Ronald, I said this last time when, you know, Ronald kind of said at the very end of the show, the same thing that happens always happens.
Yeah.
We fight. I tell her I'm a piece of shit. She blames it all on me. Then I apologize.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way he's seen the cycle of kind of their abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Where she's on the other person.
I think.
Who's dealing with that.
Yeah. I think it's over.
I think it's over.
I just have to share one thing. Someone on Instagram, a sissy, sent us that their husband's favorite clip of Ronald and Tiffany forever, and I forgot how funny it was, and I watched it about 10 times too. That time where Tiffany, Ronald's been to the visa office,
uh-huh,
and talking to the guy, and he's back, and she's got the GoPro up there, and he's like, yes, it went pretty well, but it's in God's hands now. And she's like, it's literally in your hands.
Oh, yeah.
And her look on her face that says, you fucking idiot. And she goes, it's literally in your hands. I just kept it. See, the amount of disgust on her face.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally in your hands right
the
now.
The best thing for Tiffany is an Al-Anon meeting. I don't think Tiffany, and I don't mean this is her fault, and it's not. I don't think she understands addiction. And I don't mean that like she, I think that she has expectations. She's able to let Ronald manipulate her.
Right.
She doesn't see any of it because I don't know if she's doing her, like we said, she needs to go to an Al-Anon meeting or counseling
and
about it.
We've had people push back and saying, do you not see that Ronald's the problem? We see that Ronald's the problem.
They're both the problem.
But it's like saying that Ronald is the only one who has the issue.
They both have their shit to work out.
So going back to Andre calling out Charlie for alcohol abuse, Jen says he doesn't have a good. They're all y'all. It immediately turns into family secret time. Jen's like, well, doesn't necessarily have a good relationship with alcohol.
No,
this turn, and so they all go inward. And even Libby is saying, yeah, he's a different person when he drinks.
And she says, Sean says, do you think Charlie's drinking's affected the family? And Libby's like, yeah, there could have been times where he was obviously drinking. And, you know, and alcohol says, or Jen says, or Sean asks, do you think he abuses it? And that's when he talks about the relationship.
Right.
But that's when Charlie kind of says, but bro. And Jim finally says, don't call me bro. I'm not your bro. I'm done with your toxic stuff.
Right.
And that's when Chuck says, I have a problem with you calling him toxic. Notice, she said toxic stuff. She actually said his behavior was toxic.
Yeah.
That, speaking of Alan, Chuck needs to go now because he can't separate.
Because he blames himself.
And Chuck probably thinks if somebody's a drunk or a druggie, that's who they are as a person. That's the type of person they are. But y'all, if you look at Charlie, the anger, the hot-headedness, the unhappiness, the refusing to accept any blame, it's classic 101
addiction. Check. Yep.
I mean, look, is he that far from Ronald?
Yep.
They're very similar.
I mean, you could kind of see it in earlier seasons with Charlie. You would see them drinking.
Yeah.
And you would see how Charlie got after a couple drinks.
Yeah.
And you would see, and it's almost like they're like,
the way he was at the wedding.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Even Julia's
like, if you had said that at my wedding.
Ugh.
So the next thing, Sean says, would you apologize to Charlie? Would you guys like to apologize? In what world does she think either of these men are going to apologize?
I think she's just asking that for a soundbite because sadly, Charlie's like, bro.
I'm cool,
it's
bro.
It's fine, cool. You know? And
if you want to be cool, I'm going to be cool, bro.
And Andre's
let's
like,
do some coke, bro.
Yeah, you're trashing your father. And Charlie's like, I'm fine. I don't need this business. I got my only business. Nobody's going to come for my only fan. Oh, shit.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Y'all.
JustForFans.com. Check it out.
This could have changed the whole
narrative. I'm investing in JustForFans.
We should. Buy stock. It's going to blow up.
I'll tell my mom.
Tumblr did the same thing. Everybody used Tumblr for porn. Tumblr became huge. And they said, we're not doing porn anymore.
And guess what?
Tumblr ended up doing porn again because they lost all their business.
I worked at a gay bookstore and we sold porn. And we did very well, thank you.
Poodle got really good at using a little knife to unstick the pages together.
I was responsible for all new used magazine intake.
Wow. And y'all think he's making a joke?
Copies of Mandate, Blue Boy.
Y'all, he's not. He literally.
No,
I would visit him at work when he was rifling through magazines
and
with
I'm
gloves
like,
on.
If there's fucking, they're at least $4. If it's just dicks, $2. I need to say hardcore fucking.
If there's fisting, 5 for 5.
5 for 5.
Five for five,
fisting. You know what fisting is, Karini? Karini friend.
Karini friend.
What are they going to do? They're on OnlyFans too, aren't they?
Oh, they are.
No, they just had sex tapes.
Oh, they're all on OnlyFans.
They're fucked up.
What do you think Mother Paul thinks about Paul's sex tape?
I don't think she's heard about it. She sticks pretty much to her church. And the
Paul, how could you do that? God, I'm hot again.
And the Parakeet Cafe, yeah, where she has lunch.
It's true.
Parakeet Cafe. they have the best chicken poppy seed casserole.
Mm-hmm.
I really love it.
I really love it, Paul.
Where's my iced tea?
Where's my goddamn iced tea, Paul?
So, Chuck says, I'm really disappointed.
I miss them.
To hear, I know. I can't believe I miss, I was talking about the other day, how I missed Brittany and Mary so much.
Oh, so much. Y'all, we did find out Rodney is coming back for season 3 of Mary.
Season 3! I guess they're still doing the show, even though Bill is...
he's out.
...is a rapist, basically.
Yeah. He's a piece of shit.
So Chuck's like, I'm really disappointed that Andre won't apologize. And later on, they're showing them backstage because they took a lot of breaks.
Lots of breaks.
And I think they think it's compelling to watch them. But
no, I don't need to see somebody sitting and watching Subway, eating Subway while they talk. That's what they're eating. Some PA went to Panera.
I will say the crafty on these shows is awful.
It's not good.
It's so bad.
It's not good.
We did find out, I think we said on our last thing, that
through an unnamed source,
there is no wardrobe, there's no makeup, there's no hair. They just come as they are.
Yep.
Come as you are,
and as a friend.
I didn't know you knew Nirvana.
And as I want you to be.
You're freaking me out right now.
Memory.
How do you know any Nirvana?
I know a little bit Nirvana.
I'm weirded out. Just like, that's like all of a sudden, it's all of a sudden like a little rabbit walks by and goes, hello, sir.
Hello.
Can I tell you about the history of the British monarchy?
Little rabbit foo foo hopping through the forest, fucking all the bottoms and knocking them on the head.
Lovely. So and I'm just like, his face is quite punchable.
it is punchable.
I agree.
So again, Tiffany here is, and this is, it's good that Tiffany. I think Tiffany's a good person. I really do. And I think she really wants to do what's, again, right for other people. And she sees it in other people. And that's why I think a lot of these people, y'all, when we're inside the tornado of our problems, we can't see anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they need to go to Al-Anon meetings, or they need to go to these support groups. Because Tiffany even says, when I look at Charlie, I think he's much more sensitive than he is. And he wants less on.
She's strangely.
But that's Ronald.
Yep.
Ronald is much more sensitive than.
Ronald's a little boy.
And she's a little boy. And she totally goes in after him because she can't. Because maybe she sees it and she's just tired of it, where he's, you know, said really horrible things to her.
Yep.
But anyway, it's just. They can't see out of their own problems. But with Charlie.
They're done.
Libby says Charlie's a different person when he drinks.
Yep.
Again. Another classic sign. And then that's when Andre says, he's just a weak person. And I went, no.
Not a good thing to say.
He's not a weak person. People that have addiction are not weak. That really made me sad.
So let's just take a little bit of the batting order here. Kalani and Swelu together for now, working on stuff.
I think they'll make it.
Jovi and Yara, they're together. I think they're going to be fine. Y'all, we're going to talk about them in just a second. Julian Brandon.
Why are we doing this at the end?
I don't know. You're right. I just realized what I was going
to.
Yeah,
let's do this at the end. Wow. Let's just do the end in the middle of the show, y'all. Wow.
I admit that was dumb. Jovi and Yara.
Jovi, I don't want. Y'all, something we found out. Jovi took Yara to a strip club
on their anniversary. even Andre's like, fuck, dude.
Fuck, bro. I wouldn't do that.
He's like, what? Strip clubs are fun, y'all. Y'all like the strip club.
You really are pretty good at him.
Strip clubs are fun. Everyone likes a strip club.
It's...
What?
They're... That really... I before would have told you, maybe they will work it out eventually. And when they said that, I went, oh, he is fucking clueless.
Why I think they might make it work is she actually does not require a lot emotionally of him. What she needs from him is to him to be a warm body there with their baby.
The thing that I noticed, and you know, we actually had let me see where it is. We actually had a sissy reach out to us and talk about that they are familiar kind of with life on the oil rigs or on the... Where is it? I wish I could remember where I put shit.
Riveting.
Boy. But basically, first of all, they're not allowed to drink.
No, that's... I've said that before.
No, we said we didn't know. We said we assumed, but we didn't know.
Someone told me that. I thought I said that.
Glad you told me. Glad you let me know.
I just forget.
We had a message. Where is it? Oh, I did. Y'all, by the way, shout out to Sissy Pickup.
Sissy Pickup.
You know who you are, who's going through the big C.
We just read your message, sweet message, honey. Oh, we love those. If you're telling us if we can get you out of a tight spot or get you out of a tough situation, we are that. If we're having a day like this, I'm having a day today where I'm exhausted. But the stuff like that makes me spread my wings. My wings.
I'm so glad you said wings. I was worried. I never know when he says the word spread, y'all. Oh, God. It's just, I'm waiting.
I'm like a beetle, like that beetle
Stop. But anyway, I can't find it. But, oh, here it is. Basically, it says, this is from Sissy Roslin. She says that they're not allowed. Her sister used to work on these, and she said that they're not allowed to have alcohol. They even searched your bag. They do breathalyzers. And she says, I bet Jovi's mentality is, oh, I've gone a whole month of drinking, so I don't have a problem. Remember, y'all, I've said it's not how often you drink. It's how you use it. Anyway.
What it is for you.
Divorce is the norm for workers because of the tough schedule. Then on top of that, it's overrun with 1960s gender roles where the men just make the money and the wives are mostly stay-at-home moms that do all of the child-rearing. So many of the men come home from work and spend all their time drinking, hunting, fishing, and with their friends instead of taking it that
It's the normal culture.
So this – and she said –
That's what he saw his father do.
And she said, I don't see this situation changing unless Jovi – wants to make a career change. The problem is you make a lot of money doing this job.
Exactly.
So,
and in Southern Louisiana, y'all, there's no job that pays like this.
Thank you, Sissy Roslin. So, we're not saying this is of all people that work on oil, but we're saying this is from her sister who worked. I imagine it is a very 60s male ideology.
I will say you see on Instagram and everything that Yara does, Jovi spends a lot of time with that baby.
He does.
So
he does.
I don't know if they're trying to do that just for appearances, but
I don't know. Maybe they can like work it into some type of influence thing where he maybe doesn't have to do this job anymore. But you're right, though. She doesn't really want
a lot
from him.
Need a lot.
But it goes to show you how little he's doing.
He's doing almost nothing.
He's doing almost nothing. And I think that he does want to spend time. It's interesting. He keeps telling that Yara is obsessed with the baby. It seems like he's only doing some things with Yara or with the baby, but not really.
You forgot about me. Like Mala. You're like obsessed with Mala.
I don't know. So
people who have said that my Jovi is similar to Miley Cyrus, it kind of is. Hey y'all.
But even Andre's like, you took a postpartum mother to strip club.
Y'all, when Andre's got a problem with how you treat women, you got issues.
But Jovi's basically, Jovi says, Jovi's like, I just want Thun Yara back. And she said,
Thun Yara.
But we have a nice family. What's wrong with our family? Like, she's taking this personally. And Jovi's like, but you tell me all the time we have nothing to do. And then y'all...
Gwen.
I love it. Yara's like, my bestie. I love it that they've become so close.
Well, when you have no one else in the country and there's a hurricane coming. Yeah.
I think Gwen is maybe one of my
favorite moms.
Or my favorite moms on
90. I agree.
I kind of want like her and
Mama Ari too.
Her and Kalani's mom and Mama Ari.
Yeah.
Just to like, can we have a show just called like Mother's Day
You're
Out?
You're obsessed from, with
God,
mothers.
I love mothers.
Did you?
God, I love
them. We had Mother's Morning Out at my church, and they would watch your kids. It was called Mother's Morning Out.
Maybe we did.
And I was always obsessed, and I said, what's Mother's Morning Out, Mom? And she would say, that's when they would leave their kids at the church. Do you ever get to do that? No. I'm like, well, why don't you do it? She's like, because they'll probably drop you on your head. Call. You think I'd want that woman who's never had children watching my child?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. But strangely enough, she was able to let us have a babysitter, but not until we were like 7 or 8 years old.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's not a good sign. I don't remember. Maybe
but my,
I'll block it out.
My, you were dropped on your head.
Maybe that was it.
But my niece and nephews, they have a babysitter, they have to have two because only one says that she won't work with just three of the kids because it's too much.
It's too much.
She's like, especially the youngest one. So there's two. She brings her friend, and they tag team. And my brother's like, yeah, I got to pay him twice. I'm like, you shouldn't have had three fucking kids.
You shouldn't have. Anyway, y'all, Gwen, she comes in and she says, Jovi even says, before, you know, Gwen comes on and she's like, I'm on Yara's side. She said, my son's got a lot of grown up to do.
Then like, she reads him the fucking
She's
riot
like, you're
act.
Doing some things, Jovi, but you can't be gone for a month and then just want to party with your friends. When you come home, your family is number one. And Jovi says, yeah, I agree with her. And she said, but you're not listening, Jovi. You agree, but you're not listening.
Yeah.
And Jovi said, well, it's not easy adaptation. And then Ronald goes, I agree with you. Great. Take advice from another loser,
Boy,
Jovi.
Talk about calling out from the cheap seats.
Yeah, don't.
Ronald does that.
Yeah, Ronald, what have you had to adapt to?
And he's
as
smiling
a father
the whole time.
In South Africa, you just had to build a garage and paint the floor with stick cardboard.
He came
to
off
it.
Like a moron.
What an
this.
Idiot.
So, Yara, and then he, Sean does ask Gwen, do you think Myla's too attached? Yara's too attached to Myla. She's like, yes, but I get it because she was alone.
And during COVID, she had no one. Yep. It's just, and so.
She's like, she can let go a little bit, but. I
get it. And Yara agrees.
Yep.
Yara said, I think so. But when he's at work, and she's like, and I'm attached to her.
I only had the baby. Yeah. And I kind of get it. I think, however, if Jovi were to, if Yara could trust Jovi more instead of her always being there to either supervise the baby and do things for the baby, it might be easier because she trusts Jovi.
It's true.
But she doesn't trust him enough to do everything
the
baby needs.
I have to say, this show, a lot of things in life recently. But one of these shows is one of the reasons why I don't want to have kids anymore because having a young child.
Burdens.
But it's.
Burdens.
It's really. I don't mean burdens because you get a lot back from your children, but it's really fucking
hard. It's really
hard. It's really hard work. And honestly, there are a lot of parents that do co-parent well. And I see a lot of my friends. I wish that was the norm, but I feel like that's not the norm. I know a lot. Don't come at me, y'all. I'm not saying your family, but I know. Think of your girlfriends that all have kids. Do the majority of them have husbands that they feel like help out just as much?
Right.
I don't have that. I think
it's
very common.
Yeah.
Young parents, man or woman, though, I feel for you. It's a lot of work, and I don't want them.
We have a big reveal
trying
here.
To find Poodle after Gay Pride is enough. I'm going to have to put LifeLock on his phone.
Put like a bell around me like a cat.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. I'm just walking around Beverly Hills adjacent. Poodle, I hear you.
Ding, 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 ding.
Stop moving, Poodle.
I can hear you purring.
Yeah, exactly.
She basically says, they ask, you know, are you want to have more kids? Which is definitely a planned question.
Yes.
This felt like it was the most artificial tell-all in a long time.
For once, you know how we make opinions about things we don't know about?
Yeah, of course. That's my life.
For once, I actually know about this topic. We even had a sissy message us, so it even confirmed that. But, y'all, I've mentioned before, I don't know everything about pregnancy, but I was weirdly, all of my friends that have been pregnant and have babies, I wanted babies for so long, I asked questions about it, and I was around it, and so I do know.
It's kind of creepy. You creeped out everybody.
I did. And I do know a lot, but one thing I know, and this goes across the board for every one of my friends that breastfeed,
periods are all over the place.
And I know several friends that didn't get their period the entire time they were breastfeeding. So when they brought this up, I was like, she's still breastfeeding. This is fake.
And supposedly, y'all, she's not pregnant.
She's not pregnant.
Yeah, so.
It was just a thing.
That's why I felt this was, and so they're like, and she goes, I haven't got my period in a while. And they're like, Yara, are you pregnant? Yara, I don't know what's going on. Yara.
Yeah, because Yara wants to say, if I have another baby, I'll go home. I'll go back. Y'all, she's not going to go back.
Well, and the thing is, even Jovi, there's no stakes for this because Jovi's like, it's fine. I'll just like, when I've done with the work, I'll just go to Ukraine.
Yeah.
It's like, fine.
It's like, not
we'll
a big
go to
deal.
Some clubs there. It's good.
I do
good,
think,
good strip clubs in Ukraine.
I think they have a hard row to hoe for them.
Me too.
But I do think, right now, they both love each other and they both are, they do have fun with each other. So it's not as hard as we think right now. I worry with them like when kids are starting to be in school. Joey's still gone, wanting to come back, party.
There's less antagonism between you. You see less bad blood between them.
Yes.
Should we talk about the tears of Kalani?
Oh, you've got to go to your piano.
I'm off camera.
But everybody expects it now. Everybody expects it. Here, I'll hold the microphone.
Here we go.
Okay.
And now, the tears of Kalani. This episode is titled, Mother, May I Tell You to Fuck Off?
That worked! Yay! Oh, I can't get up off your couch! Your couch is too slippery! All right, don't sorry, y'all.
You'll flounder like an
y'all,
orca.
Y'all, if you were watching the intimate portrait, you just saw me splay it on Poodle's couch.
That
like,
was disturbing.
Well, like Poodle splays on his couch.
It's disturbing.
Anyway, y'all.
So, y'all, we're back to the place where pain begins.
Boy, So Kalani,
they did her dirty.
They did.
This show does her fucking dirty, and
I agree.
I'm kind of over it.
I agree. So speak to that. Why do you think it does her dirty? I want to know what your reasons are.
I think it is all about the camera zooms in on her reactions, mm-hmm. and it's like pain porn to watch Kalani silently cry, to watch Kalani's spirit slowly die every time Asuelu says something so fucking stupid about her being a Samoa woman, and she's just like, I'm going to hold my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And she also knows she's chosen this life. She's had two kids with this man.
I didn't realize she got pregnant with Oliver. Which one's the oldest? I love her names. Oliver and I forgot
Kennedy.
Kennedy. She had a five-month-old baby when she got pregnant. 5 months. God.
Yeah.
That's worse than your mother.
It's worse. We were 18 months apart.
I bet she cried and cried when she was pregnant with your brother.
Yeah, because she would have been pregnant. She got pregnant 9 months later. So I was 9 months old.
Wow.
She wanted two boys close together, or she wanted two kids close together.
Careful what you ask for. I almost killed her.
I did. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Gilly. Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, we said that at the same time.
Same time.
So, okay. I agree with you.
I think that's my big, the show, I feel like the show trolls her.
Well, she's dealing with, and they all are dealing with heavy stuff in their own way, but like Andre and Libby are dealing with family stuff, and, you know, Yara and Asuelu are dealing with things, but I feel like Kalani and Asuelu are dealing with identity and what's a woman, and like really, and her husband severing a relationship with his mother.
Right.
This is heavy fucking shit.
But it's interesting because I think the show is always about, because Kalani is our way into this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels voyeuristic to a point where I'm just kind of like, lay off of her already.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I knew they were going to bring in Moneybags and Tammy.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't know. They could have just done it remotely. Do a girl a solid.
Oh, no. They said, we'll pay you more to fly you from. She stayed in Seattle.
Yeah.
For this reason.
Ugh.
Boy. Yo, Moneybags is always going to come back. You know why?
I want money. It's what I want.
Exactly.
Your best things in life are free. You can get them so easily. I want money. It's what I want.
What I want. So, Asuelu, they bring up the whole them living in Samoa. This is quickly kind of squashed because Asuelu talks about Samoan women clean the house.
Boy. And the camera just zeroes in on Kalani's face.
And then they bring out Kalani real quick. And Kalani's like, yeah.
Who looks gorgeous.
Okay. Did you notice? I feel like Kalani and Angela are their before and after because she's wearing the same color of a jumpsuit.
It's a little lighter. It's a imagine little browner.
Imagine the way Angela looked poured into hers and then the way Kalani looked. And I know there's an age difference, too.
But I was going to say, y'all, that color that Kalini's wearing is so hard to wear.
Kalani, I still want to know what that red lipstick
that
was.
That kind of like burnt orange color.
Oh.
To wear.
Now, OnlyFans might affect her. Kalani, if
you need...
I will subscribe to your Just for Fans, and you can promote your Just for Fans. I won't watch your videos, but I will subscribe just to give you my money.
I will.
She's hot.
We'll be poodle catting in.
Nope. I don't want to know what that word means. So, okay.
He's like, she said the women clean and the men hunt. And Tiffany's like, how do I say this lightly? That sounds like misogynist bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not into that. And Kalani said this is the first time she's hearing about it. She said, but it's not going to happen.
Did you hear Asuelu's like, yes, I get scared I'm going to do it wrong. And Sean's like, Asuelu, you are not scared of an oven.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, Asuelu says, yes, a cookie clean. And they Coley called. That was when Sean called him out. And Kalani said, no, he knows how to cook here. That's just bullshit.
Yeah.
So they kind of just stomp it out. And we're like, okay, great. And Kalani's like, I think he just wants me to be more submissive.
Yep.
And I'm just not interested in that at all.
Yep. My favorite thing about Kalani is that she knows how to phrase things in a way that says, this is what I need.
It's very unemotional the way she does. Yes.
And you guys, you can't argue with something
like that. No, she's very intelligent and she's very well spoken.
It's the opposite of someone like Natalie, who never really phrases
don't
things.
Hurt mama. Don't hurt mama.
No mama pushing.
No mama pushing.
No push mama.
You no
push the mama. Boy, it's interesting. You would cut Butter's head off to look at her.
Cut Butter's head off, but don't push the mama. Don't tell mama what you know.
Don't tell mama what you know. If you see my mommy, mom's the word.
Y'all, that's a song. We once did that in
cabaret.
We did a mother medley. We should bring that medley back. It was a good one.
That
was our best medley.
Maybe one song that we had in that we can't have.
What song? Oh, yeah, we can't have that song. So there's some songs we can't. That didn't age good, y'all. So... Y'all, then they bring in Tammy and Mom.
Of course.
And Asuelu just goes, oh, shit, oh, shit,
I busted out laughing like a fool. He was, oh, shit, oh, shit, 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 shit. And they Kalani starts crying immediately, y'all. This is the thing.
This isn't like fun gotcha.
No,
it's
shitty.
And she cries because she says, even when she watched the video, oh God, y'all, we have an Amber Alert.
Oh, is that my your phone?
Yeah, that's your phone. I'm glad you put your phone on silent.
I thought it was.
Wow. Is that an Amber Alert?
It's an Amber Alert.
It's
an Amber Alert.
Oh, I thought that was Poodle's past his fuck date. Expired. Did you ever see that commercial yet? It's so funny.
Expired. Fuck immediately. That was terrifying.
It was. Y'all, check your Amber Alerts. I do read them. Because you never know. What if they say someone's in like a Chevy Tahoe, and then you drive by, there's that Chevy Tahoe. You could save a life.
That's true.
So you should read them. It only takes 30 seconds, y'all. But that stuff sticks in your brain when you see it.
Is this just a PSA for Amber Alerts?
Yes, it's a PSA for Amber Alerts.
Anyway.
So.
Where were we?
She is. This is really hurtful to her. And Kalani tells Sean, she said, I'm not a confrontational person. I'm not this type of person. Again, I think Kalani is a very kind person.
Yeah.
And she does not want this type of bullshit. And I actually think that's one reason why she loves Asuelu a lot is that, y'all, some people call Asuelu dumb.
He's got a good heart, though.
But he is a kind person.
And a gentle person.
And I think that's probably one of the things she finds most attractive about him.
Yeah.
They fuck like rabbits in the bathroom to spank each other.
I think he's probably got a nice penis, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So they are Tammy's going out. She's like doing some kind of calming ritual for herself.
I thought she was building.
From the OA.
I thought she was like building fire.
Sure, watch the OA.
No.
I think you'd love it.
I've heard it's good, but no, I didn't watch it. When do I have time to watch anything?
I didn't watch season 2.
I still haven't seen White Lotus. Everybody else has seen it. When do I have time?
Ooh, the last episode just slayed me.
Well, I'll see it, I guess, when I'm
dead. It's kind of the last episode. People have been saying the first couple episodes are slow, and they are, but it's like a Mike White show. It's a very slow burn. You fall in love with the characters, or in this case, you hate the characters because they're so self-absorbed and wealthy. And by then you either see if they change or they don't change.
All right.
And it's wonderful. I loved it.
I'll watch it when I'm dead. So, okay.
Moneybags and Tammy.
I just want to say, I'm sorry. Before they come out, well, they come out and then you also, they show the clip of Christmas and they watch and it's just silence. And Sean just says,
wow.
What a Christmas.
What a Christmas.
What a Christmas.
Wow.
But that was kind of one of the first times that Sean, she didn't mean to, but it's like saying.
This judgmental.
This is fucking shitty.
So she basically is saying, what's going through your mind, Kalani?
Yeah, that's when she talks about being confrontational and all that.
I let them get me to that point, and Asuelu says, it breaks my heart. That was the last time I spoke to my mom.
He hasn't spoke to his mom since then. And Kalani says, you have to understand, in Samoan culture, you would never cut your family off. That's not a line that you would cross. And Tammy basically, she kind of does honestly what Angela does.
Yeah.
If you notice on the show, when people aren't able to make a good point, they just repeat the same thing over and over and over. And that's when she starts her broken record of, they pushed me outside. It was disrespectful. You kicked me and your mother out.
Yeah.
And that kind of is her argument for the rest of the tell-all.
And then Tammy, this was pretty telling. Tammy's like, they were talking about having kids. And she's like, she doesn't want to have any more kids. Who's going to take care of you when you're old?
And that's it's true. And again, Ronald kind of jumps in and says, did she put a time stamp on this kid thing? And then we find out, Kalani says, I'm just not ready to have kids right now.
Right.
And it just doesn't make sense. And then again, she says, my uterus is not up for that discussion.
And Yara joins in after she's like, Yara's just laughing, going, you're too much.
Sister, you're too much. And Tammy goes, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know.
And then she's saying things like, blah, blah, blah. Later on, she's like, I'll come up with Eric again. She's like, and Yara goes, honey.
Even
and
like,
I went, yes!
Even later when she leaves, she goes, she's like, Suelu, your sister pissed me off.
Yes.
So, Sean asked Tammy, do you owe an apology for anything? And Tammy's like,
No,
I don't think so. And that's when Natalie says,
there's no excuse to push mama. You push mama.
And Tiffany was like, Tiffany basically was like, if your mom was there, she's like, I think you had your mom move. If your mom was, basically, you had your mom leave because you didn't want it to get worse. And that's basically when Tammy comes at her again.
But
and,
Yara does say to Natalie about, you disrespected Mike's mom.
Yeah, she's like, you're two-faced.
Yeah.
She actually calls her two-faced.
Well, it's interesting because, y'all, she was, Natalie was destroyed by the rest of the cast on this show.
Yeah.
And people were saying she didn't deserve all that. I kind of see that point, but they... People, I think also you can tell none of them like Natalie.
Natalie's not a likable person.
Yeah.
Mike is a, if you're around Mike, he is likable.
Because you don't really know him.
He'll be
kind of like your bro.
He just kind of agrees and says all shucks to whatever you're saying, so you think he's fine. Where Natalie, again.
You're like, something's wrong with you.
She's just staring at you like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's one eye blink away.
So later on, they're basically, it's a fight. And
mom says, Asuelu must apologize to me.
She
gets emotional. She says, you need to be nice because your mom, because you love me.
Kalani says, for what?
Kalini says.
Kalini, yeah.
Kalini says, for what again? And Tammy says,
he's a spoiled brat.
And then it comes out, you've always been the baby. She's so, all this isn't about just this. It's sibling rivalry, just like Chuck and Libby and Andre. That's all it is. And now he's in America and not taking, and Tammy's, because again, y'all, how many kids does Tammy have?
Probably like two,
She has two kids. How much money does Tammy give her mom?
She never says
She's never admitted it. Because y'all, she doesn't.
Yeah. So anyway, they are.
Sean asked. She said, "Can you repair this?"
They leave. It's like, I guess no. This relationship's not getting repaired either.
Asuelu said he needs time to think about it.
And backstage, Moneybag says he is weak. He is a baby.
But he loves me so much. Tammy's like, yeah, Mom. I don't think so. He didn't apologize to you.
Is another day, like Scarlett O'Hara.
Tomorrow,
and my family will never go hungry again.
Yeah.
As God is my witness.
Okay, I don't think she said that. But did you notice how the mom said, he is like a baby. Cut to Kalani giving Asuelu a pill from her pill pocket. And I wrote, editing team, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss.
They are the best in the business.
It was great. They are the best in the business. Y'all, shout out to the editing team on 90 Day Fiancé
editors.
A lot of people don't know, but they're really the creators of the show.
That scene with Julia and Mike in his house was completely an editor's dream.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
Y'all, and so Sean says, well, I guess this is where we end it. Before we go, Mike and Natalie,
is it over?
Is the relationship over? And Natalie just goes.
And she kind of just shrugs. And she's not, you're not smiling like she does.
Oh, yeah.
She's smiling at him. It's absolutely disturbing, y'all. And he's just kind of looking at her. And he's like, yeah. And then she says, yes. That's exactly what she's doing.
It's creepy, isn't it?
But did you see her take her shoulder and go, she did a mic, whatever.
And then, because she didn't want to, y'all, they've been playing a game of you say it first.
Turn your keys. Turn your submarine keys. Yeah.
And she's been waiting for him to say it first. And he,
yeah.
This whole time I've said that he's never wanted to be a bad guy. But he finally said on the air, Yes, I guess it is. Because Natalie then says at the end, oh, I'm so grateful. Yes, yes, I bow like Asian person that I am not, but I will cook Asian food on my Instagram and appropriate their
culture.
And
now I will be a fish in the pond.
A fish in the pond. And she says, finally, he let me go. He let me go. I'm choosing myself.
The thing is, no, you still want his money. You still want the money still that he's paying for.
She'll find someone else to pay for her.
I know.
Y'all, it's called doing anal.
I don't know if she'd do that. She'd find some scumbucket to
somebody
pay for her. Yeah.
There is some gross Stan guy, like Stan and Lisa from Love After Lockup, that would give her money.
Let's decide.
Now can we play your game?
Yes.
Let's play your game.
So, Mike and Natalie, done.
Yep. Can you not put your phone on silent?
I thought it was.
Good God, or do not disturb.
My phone is never on.
Wow. What would you have done if it was me?
I abrade you.
What would you have done?
I apologize. I abrade you.
That's all I need to hear.
Mike and Natalie, done.
Yep. Brandon, Julia.
I don't think they're together for long. I think she's...
Really?
I think he'll get tired of her.
I think they're together. I look at their Instagram and stuff, and it's all
they're
four
fine.
Of them smiling.
Yeah, they're fine.
I think they'll be together for a while. I do.
Kalani Swelu, okay for now.
Okay for now. In a way, I feel like Kalani Swelu almost can make it more than anybody.
Yeah. Jovi and Yara.
For now. Tiffany and Ronald
Tiffany
already
Ronald,
broken up,
done.
As far as we know.
Natalie and
Angela Michael,
done
for all we know.
So that's three, and then four together. Not those aren't good happily ever after odds.
For all we know,
no.
Love. Look at the two of us, strangers in many ways.
We've
got a lifetime to share. I knew. That's a show. Y'all, we'll see you next week. Go to realitygazepodcast.com where you can see all of our show information.
So
I really enjoyed that.
We're jumping into Other Way season 3.
It doesn't start next week. It does, right? I'm sure. Yeah. So that, y'all, we just saw the announcement. Y'all, Below Deck is coming October 25th.
The OG.
The OG. With everybody says that I'm going to have to buy another bottle of, or another tub of boy butter because of Captain Lee.
Ooh, Captain Lee. And y'all, Chef Rachel. I love Rachel.
Not familiar, but I'll learn. So y'all, if you watch Below Deck, Poodle knows, he's seen past
seasons.
I've
seen almost all of them.
I have not, so it's new to me. So if you either have been a forever fan or a new fan, you can it's a great time to jump in.
It is one of the best procedural reality
shows. It's
great.
For sissies listening, I thought it was Housewives on a Boat. And
it's
I
not
say
at
that because a lot of you said that
it's not
to
at
me.
All.
It is not at all. It's a great show. It's this whole like...
It's upstairs, downstairs.
Great, rich, entitled boat yacht guests that come that have no clues in life, that are horrible people that we make fun of. It's lovely.
And the crew gets drunk and fucks each other.
It's great. Be sure to check October 25th. But currently now you can listen on the free feed.
Below Deck Ned.
Mediterranean.
With the terrible Captain Sandy.
Yeah, Captain Sandy, y'all. And Satan, actually known as Lexi, who we think is going to get booted this week. Yeah. Anyway, y'all. All right, that's the show. We appreciate it just so much. But I have fun with you. It's nice being together again on the couch. Don't you like it?
You can find us at...
Turn up your goddamn Amber Alert. God damn you. Yo, that's the show. We're not even ending it for real. Lonely hearts, whatever. Who gives a shit? You find love wherever you want. We've got to go. Bye.
Bye.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.